Justice Thomas, do you promise, do you swear that you'll be fair? After such a sad ordeal, we'd like to clear the air. You made the highest court today, and we congratulate you. Even though you couldn't get Anita Hill to date you, we'll never know if what she said is true despite the probe. Just like we'll never know if you're wearing clothes beneath that robe. You never gave opinions on the issues of the day, but judgments on your private parts you weren't afraid to say. The sexual harassment charge made hearings an obscenity, and sitting in committee there was pristine pure Ted Kennedy. We got the seedy details, but precious fewer facts. Everything from natural law down to unnatural acts. Yes, we drag you through the muck, Your Honor. Wasn't it unkind? We learned more of your private life than of your legal mind. You never said a word to anyone about Roe v. Wade. Perhaps it was you were too busy trying to get laid. From humble start to highest court, undaunted you did travel. And all we ask is that you keep your hands upon that gavel. And when you render on our rights and rule on what's obscene, don't be keeping those late nights and keep your language clean. Justice Thomas, we will promise not to bring this up again. Now that you have been confirmed, put down that poison pen. You've passed the test, and now you'll slant the court for Georgie Porgy. But don't invite the other eight to watch a movie orgy. We'll forget what we heard. Can we count on your word? Do you promise, Justice Thomas?
And you are tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. This is your 6 to 8 Thursday show. First 2,000 Bathrobe Spears broadsides. My broadside is right in front of the mic, and hopefully you'll be coming my way by phone. Phone number here is 427-3772. Voicemail in case you want to be off air and get information about Free Radio or give it to us if you're interested in a show or to give a public service announcement. 427-4523. If you want to send us a loop tape, Post Office Box 7507. And if you want to get onto the internet, or I should say email us, frsc@microradio.net. 96.3 FM is your radio dial. Right up there right now, I hope. And again, this is your radio station. Hopefully you can contribute to it, at least with your ideas, because that's certainly as important as anything else. For the next 2 hours, I'll be on the air here with my guest host, James Ney. Say hello, James.
Hello, everybody.
And say hello again, James.
Hello, everybody.
Very good. Checking your levels there. He's a level-headed guy. James is a... I guess you're a regular working man now, James, but I know for the last couple of months you put a lot of energy into ending the sleeping ban, and we're going to be talking about that, as well as lots of turmoil and controversy around the Dolphin Lee demolition project, as I call it, and the outcome of the SCAN general meeting last night. SCAN, of course, the Santa Cruz Action Network. That's the organization that, through its electoral organizing and general, well, its position in the community, its support by local activists, has been able essentially to maintain a majority on the city council since 1983. And so they're a very important organization. When they take a position, folks usually listen. At least you kind of, they give the impression of listening anyway. And last night, SCAN voted 30 to, I think it was 18, maybe it was 15, 30 to 18, I think it was, to support the tenants, Residente Unidos, at the Dolphin and Lee apartment buildings, and call a halt, a temporary halt, to the Dolphin Lee project pending relocation and return guarantees. And I'm going to actually hope I can get my producer to call in and read the exact text of the SCAN resolution so there'll be no confusion on that issue. It was a quite tumultuous debate. My tape on the issue, which was a little tape recording, is not as good as the videotape of Becky Johnson made a videotape that I think really covers the situation quite sharply and clearly, and it's being used as the basis for several news stories, one in the Santa Cruz Metro, another in the Santa Cruz Sentinel that I understand will be coming out tomorrow.
That's if they print it.
Correct. If the editors don't cut it to shreds, as can happen very easily at the Sentinel, as we like to call it. We're going to, well, I guess, James, you were at that SCAN hearing last night. I should say that SCAN meeting.
Yep.
And I neither of us are SCAN members, but I think we both had a serious concern about at least one or two of the issues that were brought up there. I know that I was particularly interested in making sure that the SCAN membership knew about the needs of the tenants around the Dolphin and Lee apartments. We've talked about this quite frequently on the air here at Free Radio Santa Cruz on this show. For a year, we've been urging City Council to come clean on this issue, to really get down, you know, in the trenches and talk to the tenants in a way that respects their perspective, that answers hard questions like, why are you destroying housing rather than building on vacant land? Show us the cost-benefit analysis of refurbishing versus destroying. Show us why you aren't willing to go after Canfield's parking lot property, which apparently, though I'm told, is residentially zoned, is being used commercially and apparently illegally by Canfield. Really hard and difficult questions. Why are you asking tenants to sign on to a project that will produce 48 units for a total of 70 to 100 families that will require 70 to 100 units, unless you want to cram two or three families into an apartment, and I guess you have three- and four-bedroom apartments, but these are large families. We've gone through a number of the problems that this project has, and I think one of the main problems has been, and you've been there observing a lot of this, James, is that there just is not any candid response from City Council. I mean, if we could get a real dialogue going, you know, oh, you know, we don't need that many units. Well, then let's talk about it. But instead, what we normally get is silence, or they cut off our mics, or they give us some kind of very quick response that says, we've answered that question before. What's been your experience at these redevelopment agencies?
Same thing, or they'll allude to studies that done before that nobody can find, or say, well, we did that 3 months ago, just like this request that the tenants have that they sign the guarantees. And Mayor Sugar keeps claiming, well, I wrote that 3 months ago. Well, we asked, let's see the document, but it can't be produced.
Actually, Mayor Sugar did sign a document with Elizabeth Vogel 3 months ago, and I'm sure he's probably referring to that. That was a document that expressed his intention of providing relocation money, and his intention of certain eligibility that there not being any immigration restrictions, because one of the concerns of the folks in those apartments are all Spanish-speaking, and Sol in the beach flats we're talking about, is a concern about papers. A lot of people there don't have legal papers. They've been living there anyway, sending money back to folks in Mexico, raising their families here when they have families here. And what I'm saying here is that I forgot what I was saying. Go ahead, James.
But just one quickie is that actually they're not all just from Mexico, and that's a widely claimed thing that kind of annoys me, is that, again, they're being lumped,
El Salvador,
although there's nothing wrong with Mexico.
Right.
Yeah, we've got El Salvadorians, Nicaraguans living there. It's not just one race. It's all poor people.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And when we start creating names, we become racist.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not the ones creating names. I'd say it's our mayor that's creating names.
I don't want to name any names at this point. Apparently you do, but that's okay.
Absolutely. It's on the tape.
Mm-hmm.
He made the statement. Let him come out publicly and say something about it.
Well, again, I don't think most of the people in the audience know what we're talking about, because most of the people were not at this meeting. The meeting, you know, as I said, I'm trying to give a little background here on the situation. There has been a series of victories by Residente Unidos, the tenants' organization that has been proceeding to organize and sign up people in the Lee and Dolphin apartments. And now we've reached the point where essentially every household in both of these apartment complexes is a part of this organization and has signed a document that states, among other things, we don't want Mercy Charities Housing doing this project. We want a new project. We want a project that builds on vacant land, doesn't destroy existing housing. We want a project that has guarantees of, if there's any relocation required, real relocation funding passed by a law by the redevelopment agency. And we also want guarantees that every single person, if they have to be relocated, will come back to this project. No ifs, ands, or buts has seemed to have been the problem with previous Mercy Charities projects in the past. And this was voted by Residente Unidos, presented to City Council, I guess 2 or 3 months ago. At least there were two documents. One was a letter from Vernon Lee requesting some of those guarantees, specifically relocation and return guarantees. And he also wanted some protection for his own property in the event that this turned out to be a scam or the project fell through because of some reason or other, then suddenly Canfield or some other slumlord can get the... It may be unfair for me to call Canfield a slumlord, a developer. Canfield is interested in expanding the boardwalk. I think it's fair to say he would get the property. So this group organization is developing. It meets every Friday night, for those who are interested. 7 o'clock tomorrow night is when it meets at 124 LeBrant Street, Residente Unidos. Members of the public are welcome, though I think there is some hostility and question about employees of the city who are engaged, Residentes Unidos says, in misinforming tenants about what's going on and essentially getting them to sign on to the demolition of their own homes without any guarantee that they're going to be able to get back into a new project. So we have a series of meetings that has been happening, and of course the most recent one was the SCAN General Meeting. It was led up to by, as I said, a very victorious meeting of the tenant of the city's advisory relocation advisory committee on Tuesday night. We have a call, though, so let's turn to the public here.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, Robert. This is Eleanor.
Hi, Eleanor.
I called to tell you that I agree with James. I believe that he's exactly on the mark, that it's definitely segregation. It's class segregation. It has nothing to do with color or size or shape, but it's segregation nonetheless, and it's illegal. And I believe how this is being done, and I believe it's the city's doing, that what they're saying, and I've got my information from kind of good sources around town, who there's some people who really know Linda LaMasta, Becky Johnson, who are in there just like you and James and David and a lot of other good people, that what they're doing is that these particular units, the builders, as they build, they're supposed to have X amount of low-income units. Do we have an echo?
We do have an echo. Let me turn us down a bit. Go ahead.
And this is a protection so that us poor folks don't get shut out entirely. However, the builders are selling off their markers, so to speak, that they're supposed to...
Hang on a second. Are you near your radio?
Yes.
Maybe you should turn your radio down.
Okay.
Could be getting an echo from that.
Okay, how are we doing now?
I think we've lost the echo. Go ahead.
Okay, good. What they're saying here in Santa Cruz is if you fall on hard times and or you're a low-income person already or you're a senior or whatever it is that reduces your abilities to earn a lot of money to keep up with the fair market and you need low-income housing, you have to go into a depressed area for that housing because that's where we're putting it. And
now, there are some who would dispute that the boardwalk is a depressed area. That is to say, they would say it was maybe a heavy Hispanic area, that it was an area that is crowded.
Well, I'm not talking about the boardwalk. The boardwalk is a private entity.
No, I'm talking about the beach flats and the beach.
The beach flats itself, it's off the beaten path. It's making people go over there. I mean, why not build in Aptos? Lots of good land in Aptos.
Mm-hmm.
And the people over at Dolphin and Lee can stay where they are. And if they really are... And if they really are desiring to get out of where they live, then they can go and apply over there for this housing that's being built somewhere else and be housed until that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, you wouldn't be saying you have to go into this neighborhood. This is where you got to go. This is a heavily Hispanic neighborhood. Whether you are or you aren't, that's where you have to go.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to be in low-income housing, because that's where we're building, it's the only one we're building.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's wrong. I agree with James. I don't know if he meant it exactly what I meant. And James, if you want to throw your 2 cents in, unless you'd rather me get off the air and let you guys talk without
no,
me.
No. Stay on the air.
Okay.
I want to throw in my 2 cents,
yes.
But I guess you want... Let me throw in my 2 cents, and then James throw in her 2 cents. He's having a little trouble hearing you because we turned down our own mic. Let's turn it up a bit so we can hear you. Playing devil's advocate here, what I would say is there's some among the residents as well as people like Tim Fitzmaurice, who I think hasn't really thought this one through too clearly, saying that he wants to keep together a community of people and that building low-income housing elsewhere for people will disperse that community. The best to build it, right in the neighborhood. That's one argument that's made. I guess another argument that's made. Let me start with that argument.
I'd like to rebuff that argument to his.
Okay.
And that is that. How can you say you're looking to keep the people in their community when you're forcefully pushing them out? And they've all got to get out and stay out until you're done with your thing. And anybody alive or kicking, if you make it back in, fine.
Mm-hmm.
But that's speaking with forked tongue.
No, I agree with you on that one, Eleanor. But remember that residents have also said that they wouldn't mind having a project that was, say, built on nearby vacant property, move into that project, refurbish their own Dolphin and Lee and, spruce it up better, and then, you double the amount of housing.
Yes, that's the most logical.
But, I mean, wouldn't your argument mitigate against that and say, you're just building in a depressed area and keeping people in a ghetto? I mean, are you saying that about that idea or not?
You're forcing people...
Using economics as a guideline,
you're keeping poor people together, and you're forcing other people who might not have been in that neighborhood, who live in other neighborhoods, to go over to that neighborhood now, because that's where we're telling you you have to live. And don't forget, when you build these housing... Are you still with me?
I'm here.
Good. When you build these housing developments, these low-income developments, there has to be X amount of units for seniors in wheelchairs.
Mm-hmm. Right on.
And so you're going to have an influx of outside people automatically unless there are... and I wouldn't be surprised, but I don't know. Are there seniors in the Dolphin and Lee Project? Are there disabled people in the Dolphin and Lee Project? Would they now get into a unit that is for a senior or a handicap by virtue of being there? Or are these only people that have families with children? And
I think it's a mixture of people, but I don't know how many are disabled or how many are elderly. This is an interesting consideration. I know that this is something I think that would put you on a different side from both the residents and
and
the city.
We're talking about stopping the project,
mm-hmm.
and I'm talking about
what would stop the project.
Mm-hmm.
It seems discriminatory, and this is an angle separate from the rights of the. I mean, let me give you an example. In New York, they had the crime families, and they were going around. They were murdering. They were doing a lot of bad things. The organized crime was very big, and they were brought down in New York, but they weren't brought down for the murdering. They were brought down for their income tax evasion.
Right.
And I speak of these things legally because, and I'm thinking of the residents, because if you want, the only way it's going to work is to stop them from evicting these. It's my understanding that these tenants don't want to be evicted.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to be evicted, so you got to stop the eviction.
What'll stop the eviction?
Well,
Tim Fitzmaurice would say relocated.
Well, yeah, relocated. You know, out the back door and into the alley. You know, and then they can be woken in the middle of the night with all the other poor, unfortunate, homeless people in Santa Cruz.
Certainly, some of them I think would be in that situation, though many would get back into housing, I would suspect.
Yes, that's true. But isn't this saying, well, we're going to have to have some casualties here just to make it better for a few? But I don't see how it can be a good thing to evict 100 families into a community that's got a housing crisis.
Or even a few of that 100. I mean, considering they currently have affordable housing. But here is the next question. This is the one raised by Tim Fitzmaurice, which my allies don't like me to raise, but that has to be raised, which is, what about the current landlords? Certainly at least one of them, Terry McElroy, who showed up at the Relocation Advisory Committee, where we had such a success by the tenants in saying, hey, send this whole thing back to City Council and tell Hernandez and Fitzmaurice to vote for those relocation and guarantees and hold the project until then. That was quite a success. But what Terry McElroy, the landlord, told me afterward was that, you know, he wanted to sell to the city. And
he's the landlord of which building?
He owns the Dolphin. You know, and
okay.
He also said he wanted to sell, you know, I mean, he was not so enthusiastic about selling to other people because the city was prepared to give him a better deal in cash.
Uh-huh.
But the question is, what do you do if the landlord sells this off? And Christopher Crone has stated, we had a conversation the other day, that there are landlords in his area in Lower Ocean who are now renting exclusively to students. They'd previously rented to lower-income Hispanic people. Now they're, you know, jerking up the rents and renting to students.
Yeah.
And so the question is, yeah, it's not a good deal for a number of families to be ousted by this relocation proposal, which doesn't really relocate everybody, and the eligibility requirements, which really doesn't let everybody in. But And the relocation payoff, which says here's $5,000 and I'll go somewhere else.
Uh-huh. And that'll last a few months.
But compare that with the situation if there's suddenly a sale of the Dolphin property and then nobody gets anything. Nobody gets relocation benefits, nobody gets any, and no families get in anywhere. And I'm not saying that's the only alternative or that that's about to happen.
You mean
but,
somebody else buying?
Right.
Somebody else buying,
evicting everybody in the property, and then you know, turning it over to student housing. This is what Fitzmaurice said last night at the scan, and he said it, you know, he was in the minority. He spoke
of it. That's a smoke screen, if you ask me. I think what he's doing is sending up smoke signals. He's throwing scares into people. What if, and this can happen, and that could happen. None of this would have happened to begin with. You know, none of this would have happened. And are we saying now that maybe somebody else is going to come along and you guys are going to get nothing? No, let's talk about what is coming along. What is coming along is they're being moved out and their homes are being taken away from them, and that's not what they want.
And what you say is true in the sense that even though we have had votes by the SCAN Housing Committee, by the SCAN General Membership, and by the Relocation Advisory Committee, we have not had any direction on this from the City Council, the Redevelopment Agency, or any public statements of a majority of the City Council that would assure us that there is going to be no forward progress or rushing forward to, you know, acquire this property. Now, Sugar assured...
But that's what they're doing.
Well,
they're shoving it down everyone's throat.
It seems that they have been preparing to do that. Now, Sugar has been claiming, he claimed last night when he spoke to me that that the redevelopment agency staff has been moving ahead on its own to kind of, just in case they want to proceed, that everything is ready for the city. He has said that he has no intention of proceeding without all these guarantees in place. He's been rushing around looking for different kinds of places for people to relocate to.
And he's really found them, too.
He says
that's why there's another 600 families still waiting for the last development that opened up 3 years ago here.
There is obviously... I mean, my question to him is, why aren't you pushing for rent control? Why aren't you pushing for renter stabilization? Why aren't you pushing for just cause eviction protections?
Yeah, and why don't you just build someplace else, thank you. Why don't you just leave them alone and build someplace else? Why do you have to evict people and put... This is not helping. I mean, the whole idea behind this money, this federal money that they're using, is to create additional housing. And I say... And also there's another thing, too. When we have this scare tactic that somebody else could come along and buy this building, and then they'll all be out. Well, if the landlord wants to buy and wants to sell, and he's been offered this money, why don't the tenants buy the building? Why don't the tenants just buy the building from the landlord?
It's a good idea. Why doesn't the city finance that is my question.
Why doesn't the city finance? Why don't they make applications to the city to get that going for the tenants to take over and have some little charge in their lives?
Or use a land trust kind of thing or some other process?
There's a lot of things that can be done. And I don't know, I don't want to second guess. You can't second guess the ulterior motives of a group or the city who's doing the wrong thing, and everyone knows it, mm-hmm. and they're going to just kind of whitewash it and talk about it and all this stuff of we're doing, when all you really are doing is taking families and putting them out onto the street into a community that people, they got this money because of pressure that I know of. There's been direct pressure for the past 2.5 years to tap into this money that's there by the federal government to build new low-income housing.
Mm-hmm.
So, but because the community who doesn't want their brothers and sisters out here to be on the street, they want everybody to be housed. That pressure that the city got caused them to do this thing, but they're doing it wrong. And they're taking that money that was meant to get these other people off the street.
Well, one thing that analyst Scott Graham, I call him an analyst because he, along with Phil Baer and others who have been really scrutinizing these documents, I think he has made a lot more sense to me, although he's human and makes errors like anyone else, than
uh-huh.
certainly anyone I've heard of in the redevelopment agency or the city government. He points out that $2.5 million in money was really up for grabs, and that might be one of the reasons why they dusted off this dolphinly demolition plan and rammed it through.
Absolutely, because their time ran out.
I mean, but the fact is, and the irony, I think, is, I could be wrong about this, in October and November when that issue came up at City Council, even Rotkin, who is a big man for developing, you know, for even further, beach south of Laurel, expand the boardwalk, commercial development, et cetera, didn't specify there should be a Dolphin Lee project. All he said was one of the five projects being considered by the City Council and the Redevelopment Agency in the Beach Flats should be considered. It was Catherine Byers who moved forward to say, no, we want project number four, Dolphin Lee.
Oh,
and, you know, it's interesting that they chose that one, and it leads, you know, it can only lead to speculation, but I think, I found myself, my eyes wandering to Mercy Charities Housing. They're the sole source developer, builder, planner, manager, owner of this property. They're the ones who do these projects. Maybe their only other office in California is Santa Cruz. Maybe they need a little, you know, feather in their cap to proceed in order
to... Well, it doesn't
matter
what they need or what they want. It's the city council who's the ones that doing it.
Right, I'm just looking for the... I mean, I'm speculating about the dynamics. I don't know,
and I don't think I'm likely to find out at this point. I'm just debating with you.
Right, sure.
And I just feel that the fault lies with the city council, period. And I don't care who they're using or who they're doing it to, it doesn't matter. They're doing the wrong thing for the wrong reasons, and and it's them.
Well, I know that the right kinds of pressures are now being brought to bear through SCAN, through the Relocation Advisory Committee, and now I'm thinking increasingly through the community. Residentes Unidos is talking to the Sentinel and the Metro. The Metro already published what looked like a very good little story on the issue in the current issue of the Metro, and there's another one coming out next week, and then a bigger one the week after. The Sentinel plans to do a big spread on it tomorrow, I'm told. And what I'm going to do now, if you think this is a good idea, well, this is my plan to do this, is to read what Keith Sugar said last night in response to a presentation by Nena Ruiz, who's the head of Residentes Unidos and who asked SCAN successfully to put the project on hold until guarantees were provided.
Oh, that's wonderful.
You want to hear this? I think what I'll do now is read that for you.
Oh, wonderful.
I'll talk to you later.
And in case you've forgotten, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. We're going to be playing for you some of the surviving tape. Never use cheap tape in these situations, or use a cheap microphone, or put it in the wrong place. But, you know, we do all three. But we do have some good tape of Mayor Sugar talking afterward on the issue, with his permission, by the way. Mayor Sugar has been often very mic-shy in the past. He's run away from us when we tried to interview him on the street about homelessness and the sleeping ban. But on this occasion, although he asked us to turn off the mic on a number of occasions, he did let us record a bunch of what he had to say. Now, whether it's worth airing, I'm going to have to leave to you. Before I do that, however, I'm going to read you his speech to the SCAN general membership last night at the meeting. This was in response to the question which was raised, a resolution, whose text, unfortunately, I do not have here, and I am paraphrasing, and I'm hoping, as I said, my producer will call in with the text, which was, she wrote up a press release today, and it's going out, and then part of that is that text of that statement. But this is what the mayor's speech was. Nena Ruiz had just spoken. She had five other tenants, Spanish-speaking tenants, in the audience of about 80 people in the SCAN electoral assembly there, where they meet to elect their officers and also vote on issues for the year. This was in the Loudoun Nelson Center last night between 7 and 10. And Nena Ruiz had just spoken and denounced the project and said that they're not going to give information, they're not going to move, they want their rights respected, they want their lifestyle respected, they want the city to build on vacant land, they want the city to if they're going to try to help them, talk to them first before ramming projects down their throat. This was the response of Mayor Sugar. I'm reading you directly from what he said. I transcribed this earlier this afternoon. Is there anyone else here who can translate? He dismissed Nena Ruiz. He didn't want her to translate for the five other tenants. And so Christopher Crone stepped up to the plate, and he agreed to translate. And by the way, I understand council members Crone and Fitzmaurice may be listening to this show. I invite them to call in. I guarantee them an opportunity to speak their minds. I don't guarantee that I won't be critical of what they have to say, and I don't guarantee that I won't object to what they say, but I will give them their share of the time. There's no question of that. And that includes the mayor. That includes any member of the public, for that matter. And the phone number is 427-3772. Anyway, the mayor began. Is there anyone else here who can translate? Could I see a show of hands of all Dolphin Lee tenants who are here? I see. And then six people raised their hands. Okay, good. First of all right, well, I'm going to try to speak faster so I can get it all in my 3 minutes. Well, basically, this is how we live. Fine. If you want to go to Mexico and you want to live that way, at which point booze drowned out the mayor. Let me finish, he said. In the United States, he was drowned out by the audience. Let me speak, he said. Mexico, he continued, is one of the poorest countries in this hemisphere. We don't permit the same kind of housing here that we permit there. So, what I want to say to the residents of the Dolphin Lee, the city will leave you alone. And then there was applause. That is a promise, cries of thank you from the audience. I am prepared to withdraw my support from this project as I have been from the start. If the residents prefer to keep living as they have been living in those squalid conditions, I have been to those apartments. There are people jammed in there like sardines. It's filthy. But if you want to keep living there like that, I am not going to get in your way. At which point a voice from the audience, either the daughter of the landlord, who's also an organizer for the tenants, or the granddaughter of the landlord, who is not involved in any kind of managerial position, but who has been another tenant organizer, shouted, "You've never been to the Lee ever." Okay, now they say that Fitzmaurice and Hernandez, this is Mayor Sugar continues, refused to give the guarantees. We gave those guarantees they asked for quite a while ago. If you want to win this argument by interrupting me, and a voice shouted out, in writing, referring to the guarantees, if we have said, we have said from the beginning a guarantee, we will not build this apartment without the support of the tenants. We will not do this project until that we have a guarantee that we can relocate these tenants during the construction period in that plan. And we've been saying for almost a year that if this cannot happen, we will not vote for the project. Which point another voice shouted out, put it in writing. In fact, that man is in the studio right now. He just arrived. Scott Graham. Now, these conditions are right on the money, Mayor Sugar continues, and I support this proposal 100%, at which point the audience responded with applause. Now I have had it up to here with the lies of people like Miss Ruiz, who is working closely with the owner, ladies and gentlemen, the owner, the landlord, who is charging you rent to live under these squalid conditions. It is true. There is no, it is my turn, Miss Ruiz, and you are not going to interrupt me. It is my turn, at which point Nena stated that she simply wanted to translate for the people because Christopher Crone had not been translating accurately. Instead, what has been happening, did you do it right? He asks Christopher Crone if Nena Ruiz translated properly. Okay. So I am here to say why all this rancor has been introduced by the Lee people, by the McElroy. McElroy is the owner of the Dolphin, and Vernon Lee is the owner of the Lee apartments. By the McElroy people and by Ms. Ruiz, we do not intend to go forward with this project. We cannot offer you replacement housing for every person that's in there. And I would like to suggest one more thing about the Mercy Housing, about Mercy Housing's involvement here. That is a red herring. Again, Mayor Sugar continues to speak. I am listening to Elizabeth Vogel, not Mercy Housing. And I support Elizabeth Vogel. I support this project, provided we can give everyone replacement housing. We are looking for replacement housing. We haven't found it so far. If we can't find it, this project doesn't happen. And I finally would like to apologize for my temper, but I think I've heard one too many lies, so excuse me and thank you. At which point a voice from the back, and some said it was Scott Graham, said, "We've been hearing them too," referring to the lies. Scott Graham is in the studio. I wonder if could you surrender your mic for a moment to this?
One thing, though, including the fact that right there in his own little speech, he gave us numerous lies. He's talking about lies, yet he's lying the whole time he's talking.
Now, what lies is Mayor Sugar?
Well, let's take the one of squalid apartments packed in like sardines. He has never set foot in the Lee apartments yet. Never.
Well, now, how can you say that? Have you been policing the Lee apartments day and night?
Well, I have to say that I think I trust the word of the people who live there.
Have you interviewed every person who lives there?
Not every single one, well, but I've...
speak Spanish?
I understand. I don't speak as well. I understand quite well. Yes, I do.
Well, and who have you...
¿Cómo estás, Ted?
Muy bien. But whose word are you taking on this? Are you taking the word of Julie and Nena?
No, I'm taking the word of numerous tenants because the question has been brought up at numerous meetings, including at numerous times being invited over to eat. In fact, I've been over there four different times that I've eaten with people who live there, and this question has been brought up
with Juan,
like
I said.
And one of them you were at when I was there.
So you actually remember asking if Mayor Sugar had been in those apartments?
Asking if any council member had been in those apartments.
Uh-huh.
And so far...
Well, there are 16 of them, and we found out for one. I tend to wonder, I mean, you could...
Except
that
he's claiming it's all.
Right,
look,
that's
the
true.
All. You know, well, he continually talks about the dirty, these apartments, even the run-down apartments, aren't dirty. These Latino ladies pride themselves on cleanliness. I've been there. I've seen the children playing. These children are dressed nicely. I've seen 10,000 times worse households in Santa Cruz of people that have a lot of money. And their houses look like pits. Their children are dirty. Their clothes are a mess. And yet, to Latinos... cleanliness is an important factor of life.
Uh-huh. Well, I would like to ask Mayor Sugar and council members Fitzmaurice and Crone, and anybody else who is connected with, you know, anyone else on the city council who happens to be listening to our show, if you want to call in and specify when you actually went to these apartments, which apartments you saw, I think that would be helpful because, you know, right now there is certainly a real lack of trust about the credibility of council members and what they have
absolutely
to say. I mean,
absolutely,
that is certainly the case. And I'm going to ask, is there something more you want to comment about?
No, I'm going to go. Also, Becky actually has videotape of a number of the apartments, so you can see what they look like.
Mm-hmm. So that's true.
That is true.
But I've got to say, I've only been in three or four of them. I haven't investigated every single one of them.
I have not been in every one of them. I've seen a number of those. I've seen a number of the Dolphin apartments.
Right.
The night we went over.
Right.
And we sat and spoke to these people. And although I think the Dolphin is a little less in lower conditions than the Lee is, even there I didn't see any squalor. I didn't see refuse. I didn't see mess. I didn't see dirty walls. You know,
Where does
he get this from?
Thank you.
And welcome, Scott Graham.
All right. Now, Scott Graham, the Barefoot Council analyst, is about to step up to the mic. Scott was going to be debating today with Micah Posner, who is a member of the, Bikes for Bullies? What is it? What's the name of that group?
People Power.
People Power. Let's get you a little closer there.
Okay.
Because you need to be close. You're a soft-spoken guy there, Scott. And he couldn't make it today. He requested a delay for a week. Can you come back in a week and actually go toe-to-toe with Micah?
Possibly.
Or wheel-to-wheel or gear-to-gear. I'm not sure how we would... I don't know. Anyway, you heard the speech. Well, you were there. And you were, in fact, interrupting the speech with some heat. Let me first direct your attention. You may have some general comments to make, but let me direct your attention to that speech. Any comments about Mayor Sugar's speech to the SCAN general membership last night that you want to comment on?
Well, I think his first big mistake is when he told the people, if you want to live like this, you ought to go back to Mexico. And then he wanted to repeat it again and then, like, caught himself and realized what a stupid thing he... And that's when the first outburst from the audience started, is when he said that. And it just continued from there, you know. I mean, he didn't say anything constructive after that point.
Well, what I noted was... I mean, I think I'm trying to give this man... Why should I give him the benefit of the doubt? I'd be an idiot to do that. But if I were trying to give him the benefit of the doubt... Because afterward, I mean, we're going to be playing some of the things he said outside, and you're going to have an opportunity to interrupt them. And we'll give Mayor Sugar an opportunity, if you're out there, Mayor Sugar, to interrupt Scott by calling in, or any other member of the audience, at 427-3772. We're talking about the plan to demolish the Dolphin and Lee apartments, which has been put on hold, which hasn't been put on hold, but which SCAN, Santa Cruz Action Network, one of the most powerful political organizations in town, now has asked City Council to put on hold, along with every single tenant family in that project. So give a call if you want to join this discussion, 427-3772. I see you brought the actual resolution, Scott, which was passed, I guess, was strengthened before it was passed.
Right. There was an amendment because Phil spoke to changing the beginning of it, that they make it that they want the council to pass a resolution.
What it reads is that the SCAN, and this is as it's amended, that SCAN urged the redevelopment agency and the city council to vote by majority vote as a law that A, relocation benefits are sufficient to house all residents for the entire period of time that the residents are dislocated, B, that reentry criteria do not exclude any current residents, and C, enough units are built to accommodate all the current residents. Sounds pretty reasonable, doesn't it? Then that SCAN will sponsor a forum to begin building community consensus around affordable housing in the Beach Flats. And finally, that SCAN will urge the city to put the Dolphin Lee project on hold until such consensus can be built. Now, this was rather strongly opposed by a number of traditional powerhouses in SCAN, including co-chair Bernice Belton. Any comment on that, Scott?
Well, Bernice has been pushing this thing all along. Last... year, I think you recall a SCAN meeting where the so-called housing subcommittee, which actually hadn't even been formulated yet, was to vote on it. And there was, 14 or 15 people in the room, and a majority voted in the thing. And then after the vote, they decided, well, let's formulate the housing subcommittee. And
so they actually voted for this project in its entirety before discussing it, or?
Well, there wasn't a lot of discussion. There was basically myself and Phil Baer that spoke out against it. I believe yourself, you were there in time to speak out against it.
I remember, I have a sort of, I have a vaguer recollection of these earlier meetings because I was kind of coming in the end or in the middle. And
well, you had been at a CAB meeting. You, Phil, and Bernice had been at a CAB
meeting.
Community
Action Board, yeah.
Where CAB voted against...
Or at least not in favor of the project.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I know that, that there was a big push early last year, kind of headed by Andy Schifrin and Don Lane, to get this project immediately endorsed and ongoing. And I guess you had some suspicion that Don had a job lined up. Instead, he seemed to move in later in the year and take at Catherine Byers in a backroom appointment, appointed him the staff person for the Homeless Issues Task Force, even though he's not homeless. He's a former mayor. He leads the opposition to the current Progressive City Council, or did in the last election when he was part of the Linda Steinau gang that tried to win election. And, you know, it was outrageous as far as I was concerned, because he's also done a number of other things in recent years that have, to me, have made him not an ally of the homeless activist community. But you felt that he was involved there. He denied it. He said he had no involvement. Though when I asked him a question, he tried to laugh it off. I think later on he was very explicit and said he had no job offers there and so forth. Although you said that he'd been hanging around Mercy Charity's housing or something.
Well, I had information that he had been seen in their office quite a bit.
And the question is, are old-timers, are old cronies, old pals of Catherine Byers, you know, pushing a project which, I mean, we're not necessarily talking about corruption, because the name of the project is Affordable Housing for Some. This is an affordable housing project which will certainly improve the living situation of some of the people in the Dolphin League, insofar